Welcome back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, August 29th, 2019. And we're kind of coming through some, like I said at the outset of today's broadcast, what I would call some introspection, I think, maybe that is in order for all of us in America these days, generally speaking, which, you know, however dangerous that might be, still I'm doing it. You know, we played the clip from Jesse Lee Peterson's broadcast. We played that clip yesterday titled Never Ever Try to Please a Woman. I said I don't agree with everything, but I think that there are some things in there worth investigating. And I mentioned Numbers chapter 30. I mentioned yesterday at the close of yesterday's broadcast coming back around to that. But speaking of 1 Timothy 4:8, and you know, got to go back through Luke chapter 17, Jesus' reply to the Lord to increase our faith. Just be obedient. That's basically the reply. And, you know, you think of him saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Speaking of all of that kind of stuff in 1 Timothy 4, you know, bodily discipline, the concept of discipline. Bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. But skipping ahead, verses 12, 15, and 16 read, let no one look down on your youthfulness. And that, I think the term youthfulness could be applied in a variety of ways. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. That, I would say, in stark contrast to the bumper sticker, Lord, save me from your people. Verses 15 and 16, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. Persevere is another interesting word. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Wow, that's quite something. So that's sort of where we enter hour three, headed back to this other stuff. Luke 17, and then to Numbers chapter 30, which, you know, it's an interesting thing, you know. How can we speak for one another? We really can't. We can only speak for ourselves in spite of what technocrats would have us believe. So, Luke 17, Jesus said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, speaking of technocracy, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him, and if he sins against you seven times a day, and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. And it's interesting, I've mentioned it before, how different it is, how markedly different it can be to apologize for something and then to ask for forgiveness. Say, I repent. And it becomes more difficult, more humiliating to say, please forgive me, I repent, if you are doing this over and over. And today's, as we've discussed on this broadcast, in today's America, we're encouraged to say at some point, you know, I got to scrape this person off because I can't just continue to allow myself to be injured and offended. I mean, I got this to think of or that to think of. If your brother sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times a day saying, I repent, forgive him. If he's in the least genuine and sincere, it's humiliating the second time and each additional time, increasingly humiliating, because your intention is not to offend, not to sin, not to transgress, but you have this battle that Paul describes in Romans chapter 6 through 8, the war within the person. So Jesus says this, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith, exclamation point. The Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. If you had the tiniest seed of faith, just the tiniest seed of faith, this is what you would do. You would just say this, you would command, and it would obey you. That's interesting. So how do you increase your faith? Well, he tells us, which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down and eat? But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which you are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. Imagine the humility that would articulate that way. There is, speaking of, you know, self-sacrifice and those kinds of things, discipline, and holding this sort of line, there's that old story, I don't remember it exactly, but I was thinking about it yesterday as all of this subject matter floating around. There's the story, I don't remember it exactly, I'll just say, as the story goes, you know, the man with the hunchback, essentially, the hump on his back, who says, you know, the point of the story, the message of the story is he prays so that she won't have it. And what kind of a heart would do that? You know, I told the story yesterday of my own familial experience, one of them anyway, of these kinds of things. And what happens, you know, again, I think of passages like Romans 5, verse 8. When you really get a hold of the idea that God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you get your mind around something like that, someone who would sacrifice for you, again, Psalm 15:4 is another. Similar sentiment, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. When you get your mind around that, someone who would sacrifice themselves, they would see the possibility of that, perhaps even the inevitability of that kind of suffering, and endure it in spite. They would count the cost initially with sobriety of mind and proceed ahead in spite of that, not with any sort of malice, but just in love, and that, you know, 1 Corinthians kind of love. Again, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, that kind of concept. Imagine a society marked by that, categorized by that. Man. So Jesus is saying, you know, if you just do what you're told, it will increase your faith. And you can think about how children, I think, used to be raised. They aren't anymore. Every question has to be answered. Every demand has to be met. And no wonder we're devolving into complete and total neoteny. What was I looking at? Oh, here's a good example. You know, to validate Jaron Lanier's point, that one of the best examples I've seen in recent memory, you think about a company the size of Google, parent company Alphabet, YouTube, all of the related stuff, the things that are going on. It's interesting how sort of, you know, extremely technical and high profile a lot of that work is. And all of the things, you know, services and even products that Google provides. And yet there is an associated neoteny. And we really, I don't think, consider that. It's interesting to me how that looks. Anyway, one of the best examples, you think of a company this large and this high profile and the kind of inextricable product and service and technology that it provides, Google and Android, the Android mobile operating system in particular. And this, to me, is one of the most glaringly obvious examples of the kind of neoteny that Jaron Lanier speaks of, that we are descending into, we're devolving in many ways, socially and emotionally. You look at the version history of the Android operating system. You can find it on Wikipedia under the entry Android version history. And so in the last 10 years, here are the names of the different versions. First, there was Android 1.0, that's API 1. Then Android 1.1, API 2. And then from there we go to 1.5 Cupcake, and then Donut, Eclair, Froyo, Gingerbread, Honeycomb, Ice Cream Sandwich, Jelly Bean, Kit Kat, Lollipop, Marshmallow, Nougat, Oreo, and Pie. So I think that just kind of speaks for itself. I mean, I hope it does. I'll leave that at that. So that, to me, is in stark contrast to all of those other concepts that I mentioned previously, you know, things like discipline and training and integrity from yesterday and, you know, fortitude and discipline, all of these kinds of things. Long-suffering, steadfastness. What happens at a point, you know, I mean, just think about it. It's to me, it's as simple as the devil sort of leveraging man's weaknesses and vulnerabilities and the fact that man will never be perfect. Perfectibilists want to perfect man through, you know, a variety of means, including technocracy. Like John was saying, you know, we can just snap a bunch of stuff on him, and along the way we want to make sure as Kurzweil reminds us that we try to is a Inevitable, isn't it? It's inevitable. We're going to have some kind of technical difficulty. It seems inevitable. I was trying to go through the Android version history as the one of the best evidences of Jaron Lanier's point from You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, when he talks about the devolution, if you will, or the devolving of our society into a state of neoteny. Looking at the Android version history is one of the best evidences of that, in my humble estimation. And you look at that, you know, a company as big as Google and this thing so vital and essential, and yet how many people recognize the sort of infantile nature of the technology and the folks that are making it, which should, I think, maybe that would be cause or reason enough to sort of investigate the technology itself. If the level of maturity is such that, you know, these naming conventions persist, then maybe the technology itself isn't entirely you know, you think of things that children might make, which is probably not fair to children, actually, because children are more innocent than a lot of what drives this development. But that's a different discussion. So going through the version history, you can find it on Wikipedia. Android version history begins with Android 1.0, API 1. Android 1.1 was API 2. And then from there, you get Android 1.5 Cupcake, and then Donut, and then Eclair, and then Froyo, Gingerbread, Honeycomb, Ice Cream Sandwich, Jelly Bean, Kit Kat, Lollipop, Marshmallow, Nougat, Oreo, and Pie. And to me, that sort of speaks for itself, to Jaron Lanier's point. And so obviously, to me, that is the antithesis of some of those other words, you know, discipline and long-suffering, steadfastness, and those other concepts, you know, Romans 5:8, Psalm 15:4, 1 Corinthians 13, these kinds of things. One, not to be so self-centered, maybe more selfless, in spite of suffering and persecution, which again seems to harken back to the Amish grace and forgiveness story. Stick around, I'll be right back.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold. Arms and or legs often go to sleep. Sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe. Short walks cause cramping or pains in legs. Memory is not as good as it used to be. Ankles swell late in the day. Chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite. As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back. So, you know, I keep thinking of the Jesse Lee Peterson thing, and, you know, again, it's not to be to engage in provocateurism, but there are things. I mean, so Numbers chapter 30 is a thing that I never hear anyone talk about, let alone a pastor. I've never heard a pastor preach about it. That doesn't mean no one ever has, obviously, but I just don't recall ever hearing it. So I think of Jesse's video, and there are some things in there. There are ways that we relate together as men and women, specifically, you know, in the context, shall we say, of husband and wife. Genesis 2:24 kind of stuff. And Numbers chapter 30 is an interesting place to hold this discussion, or to an interesting entry point, shall we say, to this discussion. I mentioned some of the examples yesterday, biblical examples of you know, getting things right, getting things wrong. Deborah and Judges, Abigail and Nabal, 1 Samuel 25, Michael, Saul's daughter, and David, their stuff. You know what the what I would call, you know, her daddy issues, you might say, Jezebel and Ahab, Elijah, Ephesians 5 mentioned that. And, you know, also Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin, which is interesting. You know, the connection in those verses is that sometimes our mouth gets us in trouble. And as dangerous as it might be, I'm going to put this out there. And for better or worse, we'll see what happens. So when I think of the kinds of discussion that may arise from the video that we played yesterday, I think of Numbers chapter 30, and specifically this, what some might think of duty, more like a privilege and an honor to protect women as men, you know, fathers, husbands, that kind of thing. And so it's interesting, when you read, what I get when I read Numbers chapter 30, you would think it'd be three verses, basically. So the first verse, then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the sons of Israel. This is the word which the Lord has commanded. Okay, so listen up, people. That's verse 1. Second verse, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Okay, do what you say what you do, keep your word. That's simple. So verse 1, listen up. Verse 2, keep your word. And you would think verse 3 would be, ladies, same goes for you, right? I mean, logically, men, do what you say. Say what you do. You know, keep your word. Women, ladies, same thing. But no. You have verse 1, you have verse 2, and then you have 14 more verses that deal specifically with ladies, concerning ladies. And that is interesting, but not just ladies. So that is fascinating, and it speaks to our role, men, the privilege we get in protecting ladies, sometimes even against themselves. And I know that's probably going to offend some, but, you know, we all sometimes, I think, need to be protected from ourselves. It's just interesting, and I want to go through that, and then we'll go back to the phones. So we'll do that right after this break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. at aroutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, and so just quickly, you know, there are the other verses. So Genesis 2:24, Malachi, the Italian prophet. Just kidding. On divorce, chapter 2. Matthew 19 is another one that I mentioned yesterday. Jesus speaking on divorce. Moses, you know, the Pharisees say, why did Moses command? Jesus said, Moses permitted because of your hardness of heart. So imagine a tender heart. And that's the spirit in which I offer this. Hopefully it comes across properly. Numbers chapter 30, our not just our duty or responsibility or obligation, not that, our privilege as men to have the opportunity to protect women in certain ways. So Numbers chapter 30, then Moses spoke, ellipsis, this is the word which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall not do according to all that, he shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And so, you know, like I said, I would imagine that verse 3 would be, ladies, do the same. No. Verse 4, and her father, verse 3, also if a woman makes a vow to the Lord, you think, you know, same thing. No, and binds herself by an obligation in her father's house in her youth. Now, how would she do that? How would she bind herself? And this is where those verses come in that I mentioned, like Proverbs 5:22. Proverbs 18:21, the death and life are in the power of the tongue. It is a powerful force, the tongue, and the Bible talks about that in a variety of ways. And Proverbs 5:22 talks about the iniquities that will capture the wicked, and he will be held by the cords of his sin. In other words, sort of just thinking that maybe, again, our mouth can get us into all kinds of trouble, and hopefully this doesn't hopefully this makes sense, but that's one of the things that ladies can be particularly good at sometimes, or prone to. It's sort of an innate thing. Ladies can say things sometimes that, you know, for example, you know, when I read verse 3, and I can't speak for ladies because I are not one, but the examples that I've seen, you know, of what appears to be this to me, a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by an obligation in her father's house in her youth. I think of the examples of maybe impetuous girls saying things like, if I don't get this or whatever, then I'll just die. Those kinds of things. Generally speaking, in my experience, that's not something that men or even boys would say, those kinds of things. Guys look at those things and say, okay. So, you know, hopefully that makes sense. That's what I mean. So if a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by an obligation in her father's house in her youth, but what happens? What happens? And her father hears her vow and her obligation by which she has bound herself, and her father says nothing to her, then all her vows shall stand, and every obligation by which she has bound herself shall stand. So that makes me think of the power of Proverbs 18:21, power of the tongue, and the binding of Proverbs 5:22, held with the cords of one's own sins or vows in this case that may be misguided. If her father hears it, says nothing, then all her vows shall stand, and every obligation by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father should forbid her on the day he hears of it, none of her vows or her obligations by which she has bound herself shall stand, and the Lord will forgive her because her father had forbidden her. However, if she should marry while under her vows or a rash statement, see what I mean? It's not just me. That's why I was saying what I was saying. Or the rash statement of her lips by which she has bound herself, and her husband hears of it and says nothing to her on the day he hears of it, then her vow shall stand, and her obligations by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if on the day her husband hears of it, he forbids her, then he shall annul her vow which she is under, and the rash statement of her lips by which she has bound herself, and the Lord will forgive her. By the vow, but the vow of a widow or of a divorced woman, everything by which she has bound herself shall stand against her. However, if she vowed in her husband's house or bound herself by an obligation with an oath, and her husband heard it but said nothing to her and did not forbid her, then all her vows shall stand, and every obligation by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband indeed annuls them on the day he hears of them, then whatever proceeds out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the obligation of herself shall not stand. Her husband has annulled them, and the Lord will forgive her. Every vow and every binding oath to humble herself, her husband may confirm it, or her husband may annul it. But if her husband indeed says nothing to her from day to day, then he confirms all her vows or all her obligations which are on her. He has confirmed them because he said nothing to her on the day he heard them. But if he indeed annuls them after he has heard them, then he shall bear her guilt, which is where I get Psalm 15:4. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. Because this is not easy stuff. And I'm sure it makes some people uncomfortable. Even makes me a little uncomfortable in today's politically correct world. These are the statements which the Lord commanded Moses as between a man and his wife, and as between a father and his daughter while she is in her youth in her father's house. And so I get the picture of, and some people will misconstrue this as heavy-handed and authoritarian and those kinds of things, and I get a completely different picture. It is of a, you know, the privilege to have the opportunity to be Christ-like. You know, you get the picture of Moses standing in the breach. You know, God was going to, that's it, I'm done with this nonsense. And Moses says, hold on. And that's the picture that I get. You know, someone who would basically put their own neck on the line for someone they love. And, you know, for men, this is a unique opportunity. And so hopefully that, to me, it's a beautiful thing. And hopefully that's the way it's viewed. And so I always think of the movie Father of the Bride, you know, Steve Martin as the father and the transition. And that, you know, harkens back to a bygone era, the concept of courtship and a father, not the way it's been villainized and demonized and weaponized by the media and movies portrayal, for example. You know, what kind of dowry can you bring me? Not that. A father who loves his daughter so much that he wants to protect her. And not in a heavy-handed way, but in a loving way. And just to see that she's raised in a way that she understands this is what she should and perhaps could and can expect from the man whom she'll marry. This kind of, you know, what some people call covering. And again, not a smothering, but, you know, hopefully that makes sense. So if there's anything, any merit to what Jesse said, then I think it's somewhere in this. This is where I would probably direct the discussion. So with that, should be interesting. We're having calls are stacking up. We'll go to the phones and I'll leave it at that. Back to the phones. Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I agree. Jesse Lee Peterson as well as Trump, I know you'll be shocked for me to say this, but they are God's gift to women because they are obvious wolves, okay? And so they help to scrape the veneer off women that, you know, kind of like are not too smart, okay? Because the thing is, you know, I told you a long time ago, the Bible is a great psychological inkblot test, okay? And so I can tell by which passages people choose to cover and not cover. It's like shining a light inside their brain, okay, to show me the truth about what they are, that what they might even deny to themselves, okay? So the thing is, the part that, you see, Jesus, his favorite disciple, was Mary Magdalene. In fact, the other disciples were jealous and said, oh, why do you like her? Why do you like her better than the rest of us, okay? And when he was on the cross, it was the women who had the courage to stay there. And when he rose again, he showed himself to Mary Magdalene, the woman, okay? Now, but of course, you know, according to a lot of these other people, I guess Jesus must be a beta cook. Okay? So the thing is, now, but the Catholic Church is guilty of this a lot. Like, see, Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute. Okay? I think it was Pope Gregory that started that. And it took them, as patriarchal and chauvinistic as the Catholic Church is, it took them 1,300 years to apologize. And I still hear Protestant preachers referring her to her as a prostitute. It's kind of like, you know, a newspaper prints a lie for thousands of years and then puts the little retraction on the back page. Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute, okay? They misinterpreted it. You know, and like I said, because the people like, very, the Bible can be used for good or evil. And it is often and has been often used for evil. And so the thing is, you know, the chauvinists don't want to talk about how Jesus valued Mary Magdalene the most, okay? And it was the women who stood by him at the cross. while the men fled, and it was a woman when he resurrected that he chose. He could have chosen one of the other 12 disciples. He could have chosen anyone, okay? It was Mary Magdalene. So the thing is to take all these kind of like Old Testament things that denigrate women is really going very much against the teachings of Jesus Christ, okay? Because he didn't feel that way at all. So the thing is, selecting the old parts, you know, like that, like Jesse Lee Peterson, like talking about the Jezebel and stuff, okay, is really, he's not being a Christian like Jesus. He's not following the moral and ethical teachings and the way of Jesus at all. He's going the opposite way. So in very many ways, like I say, I see Jesse Lee Peterson as a gift, okay, because he, at least he's dumb enough or brave enough to say the things he does so that people can see. Like I remember, it's just like Bill Cooper, the way they thought he was one of them. But when they didn't know he was one of them, and they revealed themselves, the British Israelites, Bill Cooper also did not agree with or like the men who believed only property owning white males should be allowed to vote. He hated those two groups he couldn't stand. Okay, so the thing is, people need to understand how the wolf in sheep's clothing conceals himself in order to do his evil by stealth, okay, and Bill Cooper revealed that, was brave enough to reveal that within the Patriot community, okay, that there's good and light and there is dark and evil. They are both in there, okay?
Yeah.
So the thing is, and the same thing is true about the Christian community.
I that's definitely true, and I forget, is it 1st or 2nd Corinthians? I want to say chapter 5 where Paul addresses that specifically. We're going to have to leave it there and go back to the phones because we have calls stacking up, and in the interest of time, we're going to do that. We're going to skip the break. Thanks for your remarks, Renee. I appreciate it. Back to the phones in the interest of time. Jenna in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome. We still have Jenna. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry we lost you, Jenna. Looks like something happened there. Back to the phones, William in Montana. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, William.
Keeping our word as a man, and I can use that word man to include men and women, keeping our word, what happens when we have become complacent or complicit in allowing our words to be taken from us? You know, I think replaced by continuous streams of images pumped in through our eyes, our words replaced by, you know, like emotionally addictive images, mind-boggling events. You know, even if we discipline ourselves to not chase after all these things, you know, just the moment-to-moment interruptions steal away our composure. You know, it steals away.
Well,
and I'm speaking about this ubiquitous cell phone that I see in the hands of people. And, you know, how can you even begin to remember your vows, your oaths, you know, to your brothers, to your family, to your country, to your God? You know, how can you keep that word when this technology has so demolished the whole idea of the word? You know, like in the beginning was the word, but towards the end, there just seems to be this continuous flow of the banal, you know, the bizarre, you know, the attention, gathering and concentration shattering, you know, gunk that is being pushed into most people's minds. And I was thinking, I to tell you, I a couple days ago, I stood out in a big wheat field, all golden grain, is basically as far as my eye could see, and I was just saying, how did I come to stand in this field? You know, how did I come to, actually see, and be blessed by the fact that I'm standing in a wheat field as the sun's going down? Now, what am I doing there? Is it my wheat field? No. I was driving past it, and I said, stop. Get out of the vehicle. Yes, I know you're admiring all these fields. Go out and stand in it, And I stood there, and I felt myself being replenished. I felt myself actually being in the world that I live in. When you're talking about those amazingly inspiring kids that I saw at the country fair, why were they the way they were? When I talked to these kids, they were not conquered. They were not under the cell phone. They did not spend their time, watching all of these images. They actually had chores to do. And I thought about that, and I was like, well, where is my cell phone? Is it in my pocket? No. Is it back in the van? No. My God, I don't have a cell phone. How is that possible? How is that possible in this day and age? And yet, when you're talking about keeping your word, you have to know what your words are. And if you have your words stolen by you, stolen from you by this continuous flood of gunk, what does it benefit? Well, I want to stay up on what's happening. What's happening for me was that wheat field. What's mm-hmm. happening for me at that time was the sun going down. What's mm-hmm. happening to me was I was being renewed by the grace of God, by being in his kingdom, without the deceptions, without the diversions, without the interruptions. And so when we're talking about keeping our word, we have to be able to be with our word. And you can't do that with this avalanche of gunk, this digital gunk that we have become addicted to. So if you're talking about, leading people astray and how it's better to have a millstone hung around your neck and tossed into the ocean, I mean, can you imagine the uproar if I, as a father, were to come to my daughter or my son and say, I'm taking your cell phone away? I mean, that would almost be like considered today like child abuse.
Though studies clearly show it's more addictive than heroin, that would be child abuse.
Without a doubt. If we want our children to remember how to keep their word, we have to be able to allow them to know what their words are. And you can't have that when you have this emotionally addictive images, these mind-boggling events from crashing down on them continuously. I mean, some kids don't even sleep at night because they're text messaging. Mm-hmm. They have their cell phones on, plugged into the wall so they don't go dead. And every time they hear the little beep, they can't wait until the morning to see who texted them in the night. They have to respond. And so, as a father, as a mother, if we don't have the strength to remove that type of addiction, that type of interruption, how mm-hmm. can we possibly raise children to be good citizens, good parents, and in tune with the world that they actually live in?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, far be it from any parent to refuse to allow that to be introduced in the first place.
My goodness. That would probably be enough for family services to remove the child from the family. It's like, you can't deny your child access to the real world.
Yeah.
I think in terms of, I remembered last night I stumbled on the words of James Madison. It said, tyranny and oppression come to this, if tyranny and oppression comes to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. And how do we get this, you know, constant avalanche of the enemy on the horizon that we need to be looking for and being protected by? You know, we need our government to protect us from this enemy. Meanwhile, you know, this tyranny that we are under has slipped in the back door.
Yep, absolutely. And thank you, William. Much appreciated. Brilliant as usual. And that's definitely a good place to leave it. Speaking of the back door, this thing is the medium, the mechanism, and the catalyst by which these bad things are introduced anyway. And when you're saying gunk, I think of garbage in, garbage out. And then, you know, it's not just this cell phone. It's not just this thing, but I mean, that's a big part of it. And all of the other ways I'm thinking, you know, in diet and a variety of other ways that this gunk is introduced. But this is definitely a big one and definitely pertains to today's discussion. So much appreciated, William. Brilliant as always. And a great way to punctuate today's broadcast. So I appreciate it. And that's pretty much it. I mean, the only thing that I might add is for those who find my remarks from Numbers chapter 30 provocative or perhaps even incendiary or inflammatory, I would just say that I truly do offer those in love and as a way to edify all of us in America, men, women, all of us alike. And so maybe it's worth exploring, perhaps. And, you know, I invite future comment for those who are interested. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.